that's a correct statement. The models do look at the 500 millibar, and they look at other levels as well. So I'm going to get into this a bit. When the computer is doing its calculations, the modeling calculations that have been established, they're looking at many layers of the atmosphere. They're looking at the surface, 850, which is about 5,000 feet, 700 millibar, that's about 10,000, 500 millibar, 18,000, 250 millibar, that's about 40,000 feet, 30,000 to 40,000. And they're looking at observations at a minimum, temperature, pressure, moisture, winds, density. There's more, but those are the key ones. So anyhow, those are all fed into the equations. They actually call them primitive equations. I guess that could be funny, huh? Anyway, these are solved in very small increments of time. As an example, every 5 minutes, these equations are calculated, and it goes so on, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, et cetera, et cetera. In reality, the models use about 50 levels of the atmosphere. I said before the 850 level, 700 level, et cetera, but actually they use levels in between those as well. They also have what we call grid points when they look at a global model such as GFS or ECMWF, UKMet. They're called global models, so they are calculating for the entire world, believe it or not. So this is a lot of data to crunch. And the points that they are utilizing for the model and the resultant charts are called grid points. Now, these solved equations are used for the next vertical level. So, in other words, if we've got a balloon going up and it is firing back data at key points, in between those key points, we may not have data. And what the computer does is it sort of decides what the data should be. So you can see there's a lot of room for mistakes here. But anyhow, each level is solved using the data that's solved from the previous level. So the equations that it used for the previous level are used for the next level, and so on and so forth. So the solutions to the equations are highlighted for you at predetermined times. So when you get your sail mail grids, you look at 12 hours, 24 hours, 36, 48, 00 hours, which is the current. Now the computer then is going to draw the isobars for you, for looking, say, at just the surface analysis. And they'll draw these isobars for the time periods that say sail mail calls for, or MetView, or any of these people that put all this together for you to look at. You know, if one were to use a hand calculator, actually a team of people were to use hand calculators, it would take probably about 2 years just to provide a, or to produce a single chart. So obviously, the computer age is what enabled us to do what we have now. Never was the case before, obviously. All right, there are different models, as you all know. We look at GFS, which is the U.S. model. That's a global model. I look at UKMet. I look at ECMWF. Now, these all use the same data, and they all use the same equations, but it's how they use the results is what varies. Now, each model then is slightly different in that regard. All the models, in fact, have their idiosyncrasies. As an example, ECMWF, the European model, that's considered to be a conservative model, where GFS is considered to be a more aggressive model. An example of that would be if a low is determined to be forming. ECMWF might make it a fairly mellow low. It may not move it very fast, whereas GFS might have it much deeper in central pressure. It might have it moving faster than EC does. So these are the differences between the models. Same data, same equations, but it's how they use all of this is what makes them different. So what makes the models go wrong? Very simply, they all, remember, start off with the same real data. This is real data that comes from balloons, it comes from aircraft, it comes from satellite. But this data comes from exactly one point. We obviously do not have balloon launches every 50 feet around the globe. These are scattered all over the place. In fact, I could tell you a quick funny story. We were in Palmerston, was it?
Yeah.
I think it was Palmerston. And I was all keen to visit the fellow that does the launches. Well, there weren't going to be any launches that day. In fact, there weren't going to be any that week because he was too busy in the gardens. So here we have people like you that are desperate to get information to make a decision. Well, one of the key bits of information that's required isn't going to happen because the guy's too busy. So these are some of the reasons that things can get out of whack with the models. Now, as I said, one point, and we don't have those points everywhere, so what about the rest of the points that are necessary to do this? Well, the computer invents data for these other points on the grid. It does it in a smart way. It looks at what points are available, and it makes assumptions. And so into these equations go the assumptions. So it doesn't take much imagination to see that if one of the grid points that they are using to make an assumption, if that's wrong in some way, the instrument's out of calibration or whatever, then whatever data they use isn't going to be good. And in fact, it compounds in time. So what's bad now is going to be really bad, say, a day from now, as this computer moves on to create the frogs. So, yes, it's the assumptions. Now, sometimes the assumptions are right, and sometimes they're not right. Also, regarding assumptions, they could be right for one parameter, as an example, rain. But they may not be right for another parameter, say, wind. So these are all why we see variations when we're looking from one model to another. Now, the models for 00 hours, this particular time is incredibly important, and it should be important to you too. And the reason for that is 00 hour, the first output of the model, that better correspond to what weather you've got. Because if it doesn't correspond to what weather you've got, then that's going to cast a real shadow on the rest of the prognosis. You may have a very, very good solution, and the computer reports precisely what the weather conditions are. You can safely assume the rest of the model is probably going to be okay. But if it has an off day, and boy, things are not right at 00 hours, then the entire prog is quite possibly garbage. All right, another big problem for the models is that although thousands of data points are taken worldwide, as I said, it's impossible to cover all of the grid points. So again, I have to drive home the fact that the models make these assumptions. Now remember that the grid points are anywhere from 4 to 200 kilometers apart. And what can happen is small features, like a mesoscale convective system, you're up in the tropics, and I'm looking at satellite imagery right now, and I'm looking at a grid area that's fairly small, but boy, it's got a very, very intense mesoscale system in it. Well, that model isn't even going to pick that up if it's smaller than the actual grid itself on the model. So, in other words, the model could totally miss these small features or small events. Okay, so obviously models, like we said, incorporate 500 millibar data and the jet stream data. And so why do I look at them? Now, I tried to figure an analogy for this, and last night I was scratching my head. So I came up with your local GP, your local doctor. You go in for a checkup. So out comes a thermometer, the blood pressure monitor, et cetera, et cetera. He looks at your basics, your blood pressure, your pulse rate, your lung function, all that sort of thing. Now, the GP isn't going to pick up a particular disease or ailment that you may have, but he's going to get a pretty good idea as to what's happening to your body. And that will dictate to him whether a further analysis needs to be done, a specialist or more tests or something like that. So what I'm saying is, I'm looking at the model output, but also I happen to know what usually happens, what should happen when I see a jet max. I know where lows and highs should be when I'm looking at the 500 millibar level. So for me, it's a check. I'm trying to get a sense of how accurate the model is as time goes forward. Or is the model just totally out of whack? So that's the gist of it. That's why the levels are important to me. Now, I can glean other data from these levels as well. And that would be a future topic, I think, as to what else you could find out by just looking at a 500 millibar vorticity chart as an example. So this is the reason I talk about them every day. And you'll notice that when I do talk about them, I try to relate them to the surface features that we've got. So that's the check, sort of a check and balance that we're doing. So hopefully that answers the question. People who don't really give a rat's rear about the weather and all they want is the bottom line, they're not going to want to do this. But there are quite a few people out there that do enjoy studying about the weather, and it's a very interesting subject to a lot of people. And so for those sort of people, it's more or less fun to do. And in addition, it gives you more confidence. And also, it could lead you to picking models that seem to be working better than other models for your area. And that's very true. We've got certain models that just don't do well here in the Southwest Pacific, but they do very well in other areas. So you wind up picking the models that that work for you and seem to be more accurate. So that's what you glean from all of this. So I'm done. Any questions about any of it, feel free. And also, keep the silly questions coming. I actually enjoy them. So here's Trish.
Okay, if there is anything, then